So the epistle for the Feast of the Holy Trinity is taken from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how incomprehensible are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and recompense shall be made him. For of him and by him and in him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 28. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." Please be seated. The faith of the Trinity in unity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we celebrate this feast of the Holy Trinity, which is considered the greatest mystery of God. Because one, it entails three persons of the Blessed Trinity. And so yes, for us to know that, we can only know it imperfectly here on earth. We know it by our faith, though. The faith that we have, obviously, in this mystery. And then more perfectly, we will know it in heaven. But still, we will never understand it completely. Because again, it is a mystery that God gives to us. A mystery that he demands from our faith that we believe in, yes. Because we have God's word on it. But from that, we can also take the divine truth that with the infinite life of Almighty God, the Church presents this to us not necessarily in an abstract manner, but it relates it then to our spiritual life. And so from that, the supernatural life, the indwelling of the Trinity in the soul, that is what we refer to as the life of grace in the soul. Something that very early on that we try to gain for our soul, and that will be something that will carry us throughout our lives. Then to die in that state, that is all of us what we are working for, working towards. And so it is that understanding of the indwelling of the Holy Trinity in us, this conformity to the life of Almighty God, of staying in the state of grace, keeping that state of grace, and so therefore that we will have then the life of God in us. And so when we look at the Holy Trinity, we think of the doxology, the sign of the cross, this reference to the three persons of the Trinity. And so that is something that is, yes, a profession of our faith, that we truly believe in these three persons, in one God. And so, yes, when we make the sign of the cross, it is done, in a sense, in humility and adoration to Almighty God. And so that is what will help us then to understand truly this great mystery. It is our profession of faith in the three persons in one God. And so sometimes, yes, we attribute different functions to them, to the three persons. God the Father being the Creator, God the Son being the Redeemer, and God the Holy Ghost being the Sanctifier. But we know that it is the work of the Holy Trinity as a whole, with all of those. But it's for us to sometimes just to make, to attribute them with this different ability that they did, as a means to try to help us to have a greater grasp of this great mystery. But it leads us then to understand the adoration, the love, and then obviously the imitation that we should try to participate in our lives, our participation in the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. The adoration should be very clear to us. It is why we are here. It's why we come on Sundays, to adore Almighty God. Because he is, yes, God is our Creator. God is our Redeemer, our Sanctifier. And so therefore, the existence of Almighty God as our Creator, we owe him adoration. On holy days, on Sundays, but in a sense, every day of our life, yes, we adore God. That is why we have a spiritual life. That's why we pray. We pray to Almighty God. Because God can grant our petitions. God can grant our wishes that we have. He gives us grace in order for us to live a life pleasing to him. And so therefore, we owe him our adoration. We owe it to these three persons of the Trinity. And so therefore, we must try to give God the proper adoration that he deserves. And as I say, yes, it's respect to the church, it's respect in receiving the sacraments. All of these things can be toward our adoration toward God, of sanctifying your Sundays and holy days, of trying to live your life pleasing to God. All of this is a means for us to give adoration to God. And then also when we look at the love, the intimate life of God is obviously revealed in the Trinity. God is love. That is something that is familiar to us on Holy Thursday. Ubi caritas. You know, where is love? Where is charity? It is found in God. And so we know that God is love. And so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This famous quote that we find in sacred scripture that is also illustrated in different pictures, illustrations, of showing how much God loved us, that he wanted to send his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, so that the gates of heaven would be opened again for us. And so that illustration of God is love, it requires from us then also to return that love, to return the love to Almighty God. You know, we also think about the Holy Ghost, and as I say, we attribute to him sanctification of the soul. He sanctifies us. And so truly, the Holy Ghost completes this work of love in our sanctification that makes it possible for us then to return love to God. And so you see how Almighty God works in our soul. That is through, then, obviously the power of the Trinity, that it gives us the ability to return love for love. Obviously, we can't return it in the measure that God gives to us, but we do according to our means. That we always try to love Almighty God. We love God above all things. That's where we look about the definition of charity. It's the love of God above all things. It's also then the love of our neighbor for the love of God. And so that love we return to Almighty God. Because he is God, because he is our creator, because he is our redeemer. Because he does, he works to sanctify our soul. And so that relationship, yes, it demands love in return. I mean, just on a natural level, you think about families, you think about spouses. That love needs to be returned. It is returned to one another because, yes, you're spending the rest of your life together, or you brought children into this world, and so the love that you have for them. And so that love is returned. And so the same idea, the same sense of our relationship with Almighty God. He's our creator, he's our redeemer, he's our sanctifier. And so therefore he demands the love back from us. And so finally that leads into then the imitation. Conformity to the life of God, and that's what I mentioned to you, is trying to stay in the state of grace, of having the life of God within your soul. And as I say, as children, as when we're baptized, we're given this sanctifying grace. And then it is something that we try to keep for the rest of our life. We try to live our life so that we always keep that life, life within us. And so then when God does call us, he will find us worthy. And so that is something that in imitation, yes, we try to imitate the Holy Trinity. And having then the life of God within us, this divine life within our soul, the indwelling of the Trinity in our soul. And so these are different means for us to understand the adoration that God deserves, the love that he also deserves, and then, yes, the imitation that we have to try to have of Almighty God. As small things that we try to grasp in this great mystery of the Holy Trinity. It's something that St. Patrick, he taught about the Trinity through the shamrock. This idea of the Trinity in unity that he gives. The first quote that I gave to you is from the breastplate of St. Patrick. This prayer that St. Patrick shows his profession of faith in the Holy Trinity. It's a beautiful prayer. It helps us to understand and to see that. His profession, yes, that he lived by every day of his life, and also the protection that he asked from the Holy Trinity. So these are things that we must try to understand. These are things that we must try to grasp as best we can. As I say, it is a mystery. We will never fully comprehend it. But it is something that we have to try to do our best in understanding with the time that God gives to us on this life. Because the greater knowledge we will have, the more that we will be able to love God. Because we think back for First Holy Communion, yes, to know, love, and serve God. In order to love Him, you must know Him. And then to serve Him, obviously, there must be a love that is there. A simple thing that we teach our children, but that simple thing extends throughout our life. That we must always try to live that. And so through this, maybe it'll give us a greater understanding, a greater appreciation for the Holy Trinity, and the importance in keeping then the life of God in our soul. We must pray for that. We must try to live our life always for that. Because, yes, we don't know when God will call us. But we also have the consolation at the very end of the gospel that God says, I will be with you until the consummation of the world. God will always be with us. God will always be there for us. And therefore, as long as we have the life of God in our soul, we truly have nothing to fear. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.